Hey everyone, this episode is brought to you by HostGator. If you want to start a blog or a website, it's easy with their one-click installers for popular open-source programs like WordPress or Drupal. Need something even easier? HostGator has drag-and-drop website builders. Their shared hosting service is optimized around WordPress so your blog always loads fast. Their 24/7 support staff is always available whenever you need them. HostGator can help you easily get your own website started for just a few dollars a month or however much you want to spend. Install WordPress with one click and use their easy-to-use website builder. So, hey, if you want to use a coupon code FLIGHTTEST, you'll get the 30% off. And I got an email from Michael Bradford. Actually went in and used HostGator. Sent me a big email, said he loved it. It was really easy. And he used it to for their RC club. It's called laughsrc.com, L-A-F-F-S. rc.com, and actually went on and checked it out, and pretty cool what he did. I was really impressed with it, especially for me who's a pretty computer illiterate. So if anybody wants to check out a little bit of what you can do with HostGator, go check out laughsrc.com, and Michael Bradford did an awesome job. So anyway, guys, down here at the Flight Test compound, actually by myself, it's been a crazy week. I wasn't even really going to do a podcast at all. Had a lot of stuff going on. Wife was in the hospital, had some issues going on, and been really busy at work. And our schedules weren't meeting up to get some people in the studio, and just been rough. And I really wasn't even going to do anything. And I thought, you know what? Even if I just come down, yap for 45 minutes, and see what's going on. I've been off the grid for really a week. I haven't been on Instagram or Twitter or I've checked my emails once. So I don't even really know what's going on. I usually stop down at the shop a couple days a week, check in with the guys, and haven't even done that. So, but you know what? I listen to a lot of podcasts, and sometimes even if the host just gets on and rambles a little bit, even if it's a half hour, generally 45 minutes, kind of breaks up that morning, going to work or coming home from work. So I thought, what the heck, I'll just come sit down here and maybe rattle on for a little while and see, get on the net and see what's been going on. One thing, I guess, you'll probably hear this Monday, maybe even Tuesday morning. So Sunday was Mother's Day. So, you got to give a shout out to especially all the wives out there. And the moms, maybe some of you kids that are listening, how many times have you broke something and you're bugging mom and, come on, mom, you got to go down to the hobby shop and get some parts so you can get your plane in the air or whatever. So, and even the wives that really put up with us, I know there's a lot out there. If you're fortunate enough and your wife goes out and does some flying with you and hangs out, that's fantastic. I think that's kind of hard to do. A little backstory with my wife. She was really young when we met, and I was in full swing of doing a lot of things as far as motocross and scuba diving and mountain biking. And she was pretty sheltered growing up. So when she met me, it was kind of full on. You're kind of going to do what I'm going to do, or, you might not be around. And I have to give her a lot of credit. She hung in there. We bought her a motorcycle. I was dragging her to the tracks with me, and, she was trying to learn how to ride, and she had a lot of crashes and some funny stories. She'd crash, and these little kids on the 60s and 80s would stop and ask her if she needed help. And so she really hung in there, drug around mountain biking. I can remember, we'd come to a big hill and we'd get to the top and I'd look back and, she looked like she was ready to die. But, I give her some credit. She never complained. And then when we started scuba diving, that poor girl, I've drug her down to the depth of, the continental shelf in Hawaii to the deep, dark quarries of some of these quarries in Ohio, and she's never really complained too much. And then when we started having kids, she kind of slowed down a little bit, and everything. And then When I got in the RC, I don't know, I think she kind of said enough was enough. I've tried several times to try to get her to get involved and maybe, you know, get out and just try it. But she really just doesn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, she'll come out and walk the dogs or something if we're going to the park. And other than that, she's pretty detached to it. But I can't complain. She lets me do my thing. And, you know, so when, you know, it's kind of funny. That's originally how I kind of got started in RC was it was go, 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 go for me. And I got to do a lot of things in life. And David Vindenstahl, he kind of wonders. I tell him some of the stories I have, and he just shakes his head and wonders how I'm even alive sometimes. But, you know, I had a good time. And then when we had our son, I was kind of like, man, my wife worked for an airline at the time, and she worked nights and weekends. And so I had my son, you know, all the time, and it got to the point where I was kind of going stir crazy. You know, I really couldn't get out and do anything. He was too little at the time. And, you know, I had bought one of those pull behind wagon things. I'd hook on the mountain bike and I'd take him out on that every now and then. But, you know, and I was always intrigued by RC. You know, I didn't think I could afford it for one. And I wasn't, you know, really sure if it was, you know, something I could do. And, you know, one spring day sitting at the house, I was pretty bored and I said, let's go to the hobby shop. And, well, I think I've told the story before. And, you know, we went in and I can't even remember. I think it might have been the old original Hobby Zone J3 Cub was my first plane. And, you know, that's kind of how I got started into the hobby. So and it went from there. So, you know, I just wanted to give a shout out to the wives out there, even though this is probably if you're listening Monday or Tuesday. But I know they put up with a lot of crap with us. And even another little short story, you know, I had my real good friend, Pat Humbert, in here before. He was on the very first episode. And when we really got going and I met Pat and he really got the inspiration and the passion for flying. You know, I told the story before. It was weird because, you know, I was on my own, learned on my own, didn't know anything, and probably like many of you out there, did a lot of crashing there for a while, and I got discouraged with it. And meeting Pat, he really changed things around for me and, you know, brought the fun back into it. So there for a while, I mean, it was... every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday, we were meeting up probably, you know, like 6-7 o'clock in the morning, and we would fly till, I don't know, 10-11 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, it unless the weather was crappy, and then, you know, we would go grab breakfast and sit and bench fly and get on the internet and look to see what was coming out or what was on our wish list or whatever. But other than that, I mean, every weekend, and there for a while, it was kind of funny because, you know, if he'd call me or if I'd call him and our wives would say, you know, hey, your girlfriend's on the phone. It's Patricia. He probably wants to go flying. So it was just kind of a running joke there for a while. But really elevated our flying and brought it to a new level back in the day. And, you know, hopefully we're going to get Pat in the studio here some more. I'd like to have him in here. He's a funny guy, and he's in the full-scale aviation world, so he's got some good stories, and I want to bring him in here and have him share some more of his stories. I was wondering the other day, I've been getting kind of spoiled lately. You know, with these micros that have been coming out, you know, I love to get out to the field and load up the car, you know, on a Saturday or even in the summer, if it's after work, I get a chance to load up the car, get out to the flying field, you know, and fly for 2-3 hours. I mean, to me, that's the ultimate and that's what I like to do. But I don't know if anybody's like me, you know, I'm in the construction business. So a lot of times I get home, we work late in the summer, you're dirty, you're tired, and you know, you want to go fly and you're like, oh man, I just want to get something to eat and kind of relax, but I want to fly and, you know, I don't want to load up the truck. And so with these micros, it's kind of changed things a lot. There's been, especially now with the Ultra Micro Radian, you know, I walk in the door, I grab something to eat, and then I charge a couple batteries, grab the transmitter, and walk out on my porch or my deck, and you know, just fly from there and fly for maybe an hour or so, and I feel pretty content. And I've been doing a lot of that lately. I guess it's a good thing, but I kind of feel lazy. It's like, come on, Chris, you know, just get your, you know, once I get the stuff loaded up and I get out to the field, I'm like, oh, you know, this is great. I'm glad I come out. And, you know, Wayne's usually out there and Pat comes out and, you know, we have a really good time. But, you know, trying to get my lazy butt in gear and get the stuff loaded up and get the batteries charged that night and everything, it's just been so convenient, you know, to just walk out the back door. So any of you people that can walk out your back door and you have a nice field or, you know, can fly anytime you want, I kind of envy you. Like, you know, even down at Chad's place, you know, what he has down there to be able to, and you can fly, you know, large airplanes down at Chad's. So to be able to walk out the door and do that's fantastic. So I don't know. I'm up in the air with it. I love the micro stuff. It's just, it's very convenient. I'm not sure if I told the story. In the fall, our front of my yard was pretty much lined with pine trees, and they were getting pretty big and getting messy, hard to mow around and everything. And sitting in the house one fall, and I'm like, you know what? If I take all these trees out, that would probably increase my flying ability probably by 30% in the front yard. You know what? Let's do that. So I ended up cutting like four or five huge pine trees down in my front yard. That really helped out the flying a little bit. So I have to say, the weather though here in Ohio, I don't know what it is. It's been so crappy. It's either super rainy or super windy here lately, and it hasn't been the best for flying. And it's, you know, or you get a day during the week where you're working and it's 5 miles an hour during the day, and you get home and it's too late, and then on the weekends it's been like 30 miles an hour and windy and rainy. So it hasn't been the best. So believe it or not, Wayne and I have been dabbling a little bit more into the FPV side of it. Now, as you guys probably know out there, you know, Chad's been doing FPV ever since I've met him. And of course, Bixler, and I've watched him go through the trials and tribulations of FPV flying and the tinkering in the early days, and you know, all the problems they've had. And it was very intriguing, and I've always been very interested in it, just for the fact of coming from the full scale side of it. And my problem is, you know, at this day and age with, you know, kids and, you know, daily life and work and everything, I don't have a lot of time at this point to really do a lot of tinkering with stuff. It's kind of like, if I'm going to fly, I got to grab what I got and go, you know, and get it done. But it's very intriguing to me, and seeing what's, you know, some of the stuff like David and Chad and Josh have done with the FPV. And again, I'm fascinated by it, but also I'm having a little trouble, you know, with the cost factor. I've flown FPV in the past, and actually kind of a funny story was we were down at Chad's for a shoot one, it was probably Saturday afternoon, and our biggest thing, you know, if we were doing four or five episodes during the day, we would try to do the best job we could and get it done, and then the best thing was the flying afterwards. We were pulling out planes and sitting around and flying and passing around transmitters, and you know, the after shoot stuff was so much fun. And the guys were doing a little FPV, and generally, you know, they wore the goggles, and then Chad always had at least one monitor extra plugged in so we could, you know, kind of sit around and watch. And Bixler says, Chris, hey, come here for a minute. Put these goggles on for a second and hold this transmitter just for a second. I got to do something. So I'm like, yeah, okay, no problem. So I put the goggles on and had the transmitter in my hand, and I'm talking and, you know, kind of flying a little bit. Well, needless to say, I don't remember what he did, but Bixler took off. He had to go down the basement. I don't know if he had to get whatever. So needless to say, that was my first FPV. It was a, here you go. Here's the goggles. Here's a transmitter. Go. And it was fun, and I absolutely loved it. And I think I was flying the big EPP FPV. So, you know, that thing, I was probably... I can't say for sure, but I was way up there and, you know, just cruising around, it, you know, looking at the sights and everything. So, and again, I don't know if it's just from, you know, the full scale flying part of it. It seems to come pretty natural to me, you know, what to look for in terrain and, you know, how to keep your bearings on where you're at, you know, and everything. So, you know, I dug into it and for a while there, I was going to go, you know, all in. I wanted to go with the long range and, you know, the full on-screen display with everything on it and get it set up. And, you know, when you sit down and tally that up, you know, cost-wise, it was way up there, you know, probably talking like a couple grand or even more if you wanted to get the high-end stuff. And I just couldn't. You know, when I looked at the cost, I was like, man, I really want to do this and I love doing it, but you know, is it really worth it? And at the time I just like, well, I just don't want to buy a cheap little camera and throw it on an airplane and just go cruise around. So I think, you know, with flying the stuff around here that Flight Test has, it satisfied me enough to where, you know, I didn't jump in and spend that money. So you know, I didn't dive into it, and you know, there was so many other things out there that I wanted to fly and planes that I wanted to get and things I wanted to get into. So it was always kind of put on the back burner and never really got into it. But, you know, hanging around here lately, the last couple months with David and especially Alex, man, I don't know where it came from, but, you know, this guy just, I mean, out of the blue, he's amazing at his skills with a copter. I'm just kind of blown away. And now the video stuff that he's doing, flying around and going through the trees and you know, to see the fun Alex has when he's flying, it's just crazy. I mean, he's all into it. Doesn't matter if he crashes and you know, he just loves it. And matter of fact, like even down at Ceph, I think probably 90% of his flying was with the little blackout quad. And I'm kind of finding out, you know, to have the fun, you don't have to spend the big money. And, you know, with these smaller quads now that are able to carry a GoPro like that little blackout quad that Alex flies all the time. I mean, the thing really is it's almost indestructible. I mean, yeah, you might break a prop or something, but you know, I've seen him auger that thing into the ground where it was, I mean, stuck in the ground. Yeah, you break a prop and I think he might have fried a couple ESCs, but as far as the frame and everything, and well, maybe he might have dinged up a couple GoPros too, but the thing is just phenomenal and it looks like just so much fun. So Wayne and I have been talking about it for a long time, so we... Well, at least me anyway, I basically went to the absolute cheapest stuff I could get just to kind of tinker around and see if it's something I wanted to stick with. I think I got a $14 Hobby King little camera. I got some super cheap. Now, I went with 900 megahertz right now, but I think down the road I'm just going to end up and have to bite the bullet. Go with the Fat Shark goggles and switch over to the 5.8. But right now we just Wayne and I went with the super cheap 900 megahertz and with the TV and the sunshade. Now we brought it down the other day at Flight Test and just wanted to cruise around and we plugged it in and I don't know what it is I know now some people they can sit right down and just take right off with the goggles or on the TV and no problem, and there's some people who, you know, they've got to get it up in the air and get it kind of comfortable and cruise around a little bit, but I don't know. I just sat right down and sit right in front of the monitor, and I'm able to just take off and just cruise around. And for me, For anybody that tries it, I think in general it seems easier to cruise around and control the quadcopter because you can actually kind of, you know, I don't have any kind of gimbal or anything on mine, so you actually see the sensation and what the quadcopter's doing. So as I'm cruising around, I can actually kind of see exactly what's going on in your speed and your altitude and everything. So I found it really easy. Wayne and I were cranking around there for a while, and then we were having some issues, and Wayne, I think, crashed once, and we threw another prop on it, and went back up again, and then I ended up crashing. Well, then, you know, when we were going out to get my quad, went out there, and the motors were just, they were going. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. Couldn't figure that out, and we got a hold of it, and soon as we got a hold of it, they stopped. So we checked it all out. Everything was good, and went out again, and boom, same thing happened. I lost control of it. Things were flipping upside down. It landed. We go out there, and the motors are going. Well, needless to say, after we thought about it a little bit here, I had a bad receiver, and I just had a cheap, DSM-2 receiver on it, nothing fancy, but one of the little antennas kind of broke loose, and it was an old receiver. I probably shouldn't even had it on there because I've never had really any problems with Spectrum whatsoever. So needless to say, I had a bad receiver, and it was losing signal, and as soon as it we got a hold of the quadcopter and it picked the signal back up, it naturally shut the motors down. So that was a problem we had with that. So we're really having some fun with those, and I'm looking forward to getting into it a little more and seeing where it goes. But don't get me wrong, I still love my my airplanes, and I think that's still kind of first on the list. A couple other things. I do have some plans and stuff. I definitely would like to make the podcast a little bit better. I think personally, I listen to a lot of podcasts and have for the last probably 3 years. And I think for getting out to, you know, your people and your listeners and your followers and everything, I think it's one of the best things to do and get the information out there. And me personally, I like to interact with everybody, and I really was trying to get, you know, some kind of phone system going, and I love talking to you guys. The first time David and I sat down, we did the little kind of Q&A. I was overwhelmed. I mean, we took like 52 calls. We were here for 2 hours. The switchboard on the computer was completely full. I couldn't even tell you how many people we had on hold. I'm guessing we probably had another 50, 60, maybe 70 people on hold at the time. And it was really overwhelming. Yes, it had some hiccups with Blog Talk Radio, but I was amazed by what went on. So I did a little more testing and got another laptop, and we're going to try to do it again. And that's when we had some internet problems. We actually had no internet. Through the testing, though, I've had some problems with it. We found out, you know, depending on age of the computer and what's running in it, and, you know, everything, it almost seems like the moon and the stars have to align to make it work perfect. And, you know, for you guys out there, I want this thing to be good. I don't want it, you know, I feel like it's been kind of, you know, hokey lately, and I don't like that. So I got looking around at maybe getting into some actual phone systems, you know, kind of like what the radio stations use, and really kind of looked around into it. But unfortunately, even for like a small six line system for the studio, man, you're talking anywhere from $3,000 up to over $4,500 just for a small system in the studio. I don't think at this point in time that's something that it's in the budget and, you know, we can incorporate. Now, down the road, you know, if you guys keep listening and you're really starting to enjoy it, the big thing too is rate it. You know, if you like listening to this and want us to continue, rate the podcast, get in there and tell everyone and spread the word. And, you know, the bigger this gets, the better we can, you know, do things for you. I'd love to see it grow just, you know, more and more, maybe do some remote podcasts. I am working on, I do have a little system I got hooked up now to the board that we can start doing some phone interviews. So, you know, I got some people in mind here coming up soon that we're going to get on the phone and do some phone interviews. So that'll be something different. But I'm on the fence. I'd like to maybe try it one more time. I like the podcast reviews here in the near future. I think we're going to do some more podcast reviews. So we may try Blog Talk Radio one more time just to see what happens. Because, I mean, for me, my thoughts on it, and, you know, if you guys have any other comments on it, or maybe you think I'm completely out in left field, that, you know, no problem, let me know. But my thoughts on it were, is if, you know, we review something that you're really intrigued about. So, you know, again, you know, we take the product and we, you know, really dive into it for maybe a couple weeks and really get the ins and outs of it and see what we like, you know, pass the transmitter around. Something that Wayne likes might not be something that I like, or maybe even Alex, something, you know, vice versa, whatever. So, you know, we want to kind of hit the high points and low points and see what we agree on and dive a little bit deeper into the product, you know, to get a little bit better review. And my thinking was, if I could get you guys involved, you know, take your question, you know, there may be a question out there or something that, you know, as we're talking about or whatever, that you thought of and like, well, I'm kind of on the fence, but what about this? So, you know, if we can talk to you and maybe go into a little bit more detail, we may sway you one way or the other. I don't know. So, you know, that was kind of my thinking of doing these product reviews. Now, the other thing we could do, and, you know, this is an idea, is, you know, we can maybe post on Facebook, you know, we're going to do a podcast review on this product. Do you have any questions on it? You know, and send your questions in. You know, maybe we could just do it that way and it would be easier. So give me some feedback on that. I'm open to ideas. I like the constructive criticism you guys give me. I try to answer most all the emails. And questions. Once in a while, I kind of slack or I get busy or whatever. But I do try to get back to you guys. I know I did talk to Bixler a while back. We were all kind of pretty excited about the Durafly Sky Mule. I think Josh has got some coming. So I'm hoping that we can do a podcast review on that. That could get pretty in-depth. That thing's, you know, at first, man, that thing looks like it's built like a tank. I did see a couple videos of it flying. I'm pretty interested in, you know, even this winter with the skis, that thing looks like it could handle some pretty good weather, you know, out in the snowstorms. Like, you know, I like to fly in the winter in the snow. I don't know why. Overall, that thing looks like a pretty good, you know, just a beast to fly. So, you know, it's going to take the weather and the wind and then with everything else, you know, going into the FPV, you know, put a camera on in the front or a GoPro up on the top, and you know, they got some good ideas in that airplane. So I think that one's going to be a good one for a review. I was even thinking, you know, it's got a big cargo door on the side or something. You know, my kids. Generally, when we go out flying, you know, a lot of times we're at the park. We get, not all the time, but once in a while, we get a lot of kids just like to come out and hang out and watch. And Pat and I got pretty good at doing some good formation flying. And they would just like to hang out and watch us fly and do the formation. And we put on a little air show for them. And, you know, we got a kick out of that. So, you know, with the Sky Mule, I was even thinking with that big cargo door, you can go on to like Amazon and pick up those little parachute guys for, you know, you get a whole bag of them for like $10, you know, and load that thing up with parachute guys, or even like, you know, what Josh likes to do, put some candy in it or something, and you know, take it up there and drop them out. I think that would be fun, and the kids would really enjoy that. That would be good, you know, if maybe if you were having a party or something. But they got that I think coming down the chute here sometime. And then Alex did say, and another one I was really looking forward to is the Multiplex Pilatus. I think they're trying to get their hands on a couple of those. I do have a Fun Cub. Love that thing. That thing is so much fun. So I think this one's even going to be a little bit better. It looks like it kind of has the slow flight capabilities of the Fun Cub, you know, with the big flaps and the big high wing and everything. But watching the videos, it also looks like the, you know, it's got a little bit hotter motor in it. It's a little bit faster and you can have a little bit more fun with it. So I'm pretty excited about that one too. So that we have that one, I think, coming down the road. If there's anything else out there, you know, that you guys are interested in, let me know. And two, even if maybe there's, I was thinking the other day, if there's something that's already maybe even been out for a little while. I mean, we have a ton of airplanes around here. I mean, just, you know, sitting around, stored up top, like up in the attic. I mean, there's a lot of airplanes. Josh still has a, if there's even something that's been out for a while that you know, you guys have been interested. If I get enough, questions on it or emails or whatever, we could pull it out and do more of an, in-depth review on it. I don't have a problem with that either. So, that's something to think about. Oh, hey, the other thing, man, I'm just completely blown away. About Flight Fest. I mean, you know, the guys put the Kickstarter out for, you know, originally being $5,000. And I think the last I looked, oh man, I don't even remember if it was 27 or 29,000. I'm completely blown away. But in the back of my mind, I'm a little nervous about this. You know, we have this event, first time event. And, you know, with that many people coming and, you know, that amount of money. And I think it's going to be, I think we can pull it off. I think it's going to be tough and it's going to be a lot of work. I don't know. I'm excited, nervous. What can we do with that kind of money? So I guess we'll have to wait and see. I know I've talked to the guys a little bit about it. I think we all kind of feel the same way. And the other thing is, if this thing really does, you know, grow like I think it has the potential, what are we going to do for next year? Trying to, you know, find a place or, you know, rent an airport or something that's big enough to handle that many people. The flying part, I think, is the simple part, you know, with the field and you know, flight line and everything. But when you're talking, I don't even know, maybe hundreds or thousands of people, you know, that's where it becomes a problem. You know, I've seen it before, like at the National Motocross races, you know, where they get way more people than they really thought, you know, and you run into problems with like the porta-johns or what if it rains, you know, what are we going to do with, you know, that many people, you know, if it's, you know, pouring down rain and, you know, what, you know, other things to do to occupy, you know, it's just so there's a lot of things involved in it. And I'm kind of nervous about it, but it's definitely going to be a good time. I was completely blown away at the, you know, the response of the people and everybody wanting to come over. And I I've gotten a lot of emails about David, and, you know, we should take some of that money and get David over here. And I think they talked about it on the Flight Test podcast. And, you know, again, just so everybody's clear, we have no problems. We hope and want to get David over here, but his problem right now is with the visa. If we can get him over here, and it may be just for only a week or something, if his visa will allow it, we will for sure absolutely try to get him and his wife over here. And I think if he just comes over and it's a vacation, I think that might be possible. And I know he really wants to get over here. We'll see what happens. If you guys out there have any other suggestions or ideas or stuff that you would like to see at Flight Test, please let us know. I mean, we're still kind of racking our brains of what else we could do. I was thinking, too, I wanted to throw out there, if you guys want to bring your gliders, I know we're going to have my Carbon Cub. We'll probably have another Carbon Cub. So you know, I'm hoping we can get you glider pilots, get some more glider pilots in here, and, you know, we can do some towing and have some fun. So that's something to think about. Bring your DLGs, you know, whatever you want, you know, bring it. I think it's going to be a really good time. What else we got to talk about? Oh, hey, you know, the other thing I was thinking about for you guys out there, let me know if you kind of agree with this or maybe have had the same problem. But, you know, my son's slowly kind of, he's 10 now. He's slowly kind of getting into it a little bit. He seems to be very intrigued by the anything of the copter sort. You know, he's got a Nano QX that he actually loves and flies around in the house and outside. And he likes the bigger stuff, too, now that, you know, I've got the camera on it and everything. He seems to be really gravitating, excuse me, to that stuff. We were at, this was a while back when we were at NEF. He was there, and Josh Bixler had his boys there, and which those two kids are just amazing. Their pilot skills at their age are just phenomenal. And Aiden likes to hang out with Josh's son, Mikey, and they seem to get along pretty good. But anyway, you know, I was been on the fence about, you know, I was thinking about getting them some kind of beginner plane that has the safe technology, so, you know, I could get him out there and get him going and wouldn't have to worry about him too much and put him on a trainer cord. And I've flown the Apprentice S quite a few times and been really, really impressed with it. But, you know, I wasn't sure I wanted to spend that kind of money for him starting out. I've flown a couple of the other things, but Josh was really playing up the Duet, and I watched some videos and read about it, and I was just like, I don't know. It seemed kind of cheesy. It is only like $50. But when we were at NEF, they actually had one up there, and Aiden asked if he could take it for, you know, for a spin. I'm like, I don't know. A lot of people. So finally, he's like, oh, let me just try it. So he did, and he actually took right off with it and was flying circuits with it inside the dome, and it really kind of blew me away that, you know, it was that good. I did take it for a little spin and was pretty impressed with it. So they had them on sale there for $50. So I thought, you know what, for that kind of money, let's just pick one up. Sometimes now, you know, in the front yard, I'll grab the Champ, you know, and that's still something I still, you know, if I really just want to relax and just cruise around and, you know, sit down and fly under the trees and around the trees, you know, I grab the Champ and just cruise around, and, you know, that thing's still a lot of fun. And I've taught so many people on the Champ. It's just kind of unbelievable. You know, Aiden can fly the Duet and crank it around and does pretty good with it. So now I've, you know, been kind of thinking about maybe stepping up. I'm not sure if I'll go with the S or not, the Apprentice S. But anyway, I've had some trouble trying to fly like the Duet. Now, I don't know if it's because it really is so limited, and I take it out there, and in my mind, what I wanted to do and the stick inputs I'm giving it, and obviously it won't let me. There's been multiple instances where I've actually put it into the ground. I can't wrap my brain around what happened or what I did. So I don't know if that's just because it's really, you know, limiting what I'm, you know, trying to do with it, and it's not letting me. So I've had some problems with that, and I really have a tough time flying it. So I'm guessing it's probably just me. My son doesn't have any problems with it. So just wondering if, you know, just from years of flying and, you know, doing what I usually want to do, you know, and it's just not letting me. So I just thought that was kind of strange. But I'll tell you what, for $50, if you're thinking about getting into it, maybe you have a decent size yard, or a park fairly close. You know, again, it doesn't take a lot of wind, but for them quiet summer evenings, if, you know, you want to get into it and you don't want to spend, you know, $100, you know, for $50, the thing is pretty good. And, you know, I should have known Josh Bixler knows his stuff, and I should have jumped on it right away. Oh, hey, I know I've been rattling on here for a while, and but I do have kind of a quick funny story. A couple things before that. One reason before David went home, our good friend Adam Drain came up, and we did some flying at Chad's before David left, and we got him a Radian and got him set up and got him going. So Adam, you'll have to let us know how's that going and how you're liking it. I believe it was him and his dad, I believe, made this beautiful bomber jacket for David before he went home. And if you look on Instagram, I think I might have posted a couple pictures on there. But to see it in person, and it was an actual pilot, Swedish pilot, that they did it after. So it was really cool to see in person. Just a shout out to Adam. I hope to get him on the podcast here soon. He's got this great gig with the Liberty Foundation, and gets to fly on the B-17 quite a bit. And Adam, you need to, I don't know, maybe you have, but some of the pictures you've sent me of the shots outside the B-17, and I don't know, you got a couple selfies out there of your head hanging out the top of that thing in the air. You know, it's just crazy. So you get a chance, post them things up. I think a lot of guys would appreciate that. But anyway, he kind of reminded me of a funny story when we were down there on Sunday. And sorry, Wayne, I know you're not here. I'm going to throw you under the bus here a little bit. Wayne's had some dental work been going on here lately, and I think right now he's having a rough time, and I know he can't talk, and we've been texting back and forth, and I texted him the other day. I said, "You up for a podcast yet?" And he says, "I still can't even talk." So if you want to have some fun with Wayne a little bit, maybe send some pictures of some cheeseburgers or maybe some cans of soup and some straws or something, you know, maybe try to give him a good little laugh or something. But I wish he was here to help tell his side of the story. But we had one full-size Radian, and we had two micro Radians cranking around. And it was a pretty good day. We were catching some thermals, and we were even throwing around the DLGs a little bit. And it just happened to be, I'm not sure what I was doing, but I know David had the full-size Radian and was there with Adam, and Wayne had the ultra micro Radian. Now, before I get too far into this, I know the feeling that what I'm about to tell you, and it's happened to me numerous times. And like I said, back in the day when Pat and I used to fly together all the time, we flew the same planes and would do a lot of formation flying. And I know I can't tell you how many times where I've glanced away or he's glanced away, and you look back and you think you're following your plane, and you're telling it to turn left and the plane's going right, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. You think you lose it, and where in fact you're looking at the wrong airplane. And it's a devastating feeling, and you know, your heart sinks, and the adrenaline starts pumping, and you don't know what to do. And so anyway, David was pretty high up, and Wayne was coming across with the ultra micro Radian, and he glanced over. I don't know if he looked at me or something happened. And I mean, it was for a split second, and I seen him look back. Well, out of the corner of my eye, I seen the ultra micro Radian. I seen the shadow on the ground, everything, and I seen it pass over my head. So Wayne turns around, and he's still looking up to where David is. And I looked for a second, and then I looked back, and I was trying to find the ultra micro Radian. I'm like, wait a minute. There was just two planes in the sky, and there's Wayne. He's still flying. He's looking at, and what he was doing is he was actually looking at the big Radian way up, thinking that it was the ultra micro Radian. And I said, "Wayne, what are you looking at?" And he's look, you know, he kind of glanced at me like I was an idiot. And I said, "I think that's David's Radian." I said, "Your micro Radian flew over my head, and it's somewhere behind us." So in a panic, we're all turned around. We're looking and looking, and lo and behold, luckily, we found this thing probably, I don't know, maybe 200 yards out over the trees, and it was just a speck, but Wayne did a good job, and he brought it back. And but it was funny because I've been there, done that. And I'm sure you guys out there have done the same thing, and it is just the worst feeling in the world. But it's just crazy to where just that split second, even though one was a regular full scale, radian and an ultra micro, that your depth perception and the way it looked, he really thought for sure that he was flying the full size radian and it was his ultra micro. So Wayne, that was a great laugh. Once we landed, we talked about it for about 5 or 10 minutes and we're really laughing about it. But at the time, we were just in full panic mode. It was pretty funny. So really, that's really the only good story I have over the last couple weeks. Again, we had some fun flying the FPV stuff and doing that a little more. But anyway, I'm probably going to get out of here. I've been rattling on here for, probably 40 minutes here. And I don't want to bore you guys too much. I just want to let you know what's been happening, what's going on, and give you a little podcast, just something to listen to on your way to work or your way home or sitting, laying in bed at night or whatever. I felt I owed that to you guys. So I hope I didn't bore you too much. Again, I got a lot of stuff in the pipe coming down the road here. And it's going to get good. I'm going to get quite a few people in the studio here. And I know it's always a better dynamic when we get, three or four guys in here and get talking. So, but I thank you guys for listening. Again, if you want to see this thing get bigger and grow and make it better, get in there, rate us, let us know that you like it. And we'll go on from there. So I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go try to enjoy the day a little bit. I hope you guys do the same thing. Again, any questions, any comments? I know I've been off the grid here for a week and kind of apologize for that. Just a lot of things going on, just normal life things. I'm not complaining or anything. Just the way it goes. But please hit me up on Twitter at FT After Hours. We're starting to get a pretty good following. And I enjoy listening to you guys and seeing what you have to say and what you're building, and puts a smile on my face every day when I got to go to my normal job every day. So I've been trying to help out the flight test Instagram account a little bit and trying to get that to grow. But hit me up on Twitter or email me. I'm Chris at flighttest.com. I'm more than happy to hear from you and answer your questions and we'll continue on. So enough of me rambling on. I'm going to get out of here and get some more coffee and go enjoy the day. So thanks again, guys, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.